Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Irene hates it when I do this, but Irene, can you take the music out? I know it just got started, but make it go away. Thanks. Okay, now, listen to this.
People say I'm crazy, I got diamonds on the soles of my shoes, yeah. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of my shoes.
That's Paul Simon, one of the hit songs from his landmark 1986 record, Graceland. Song's called Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes. Now, what are you doing right now as you listen to this? Is your head bobbing? Foot sort of bouncing up and down, and maybe you weren't even aware of it until I just pointed it out? Odds are you were moving, somehow, even a little, while listening to this. A new study aims to find out why our bodies respond physically to music, even to music we don't know or like. We'll hear some of the musical tests that are a part of that study in just a few minutes. For now, listen to the song again. Those voices? Not Paul Simon. That's the South African choir Ladysmith Black Mambazo. They became global music ambassadors for South Africa in the wake of the Graceland album. They also became friends with Nelson Mandela, and they've got a new album that does something they've never done before. Ladysmith Black Mambazo is going to perform a live set for us, including one of their classic tracks from Graceland, later on Soundcheck. So, what's this thing they've never done before? Well, they've joined forces with a female vocal group called Women of Mambazo, which was led by Nelly Shabalala. Nelly was the wife of Joseph Shabalala, who founded Ladysmith Black Mambazo. She was killed 12 years ago. Her voice and that of her choir appears on this new record on tape, while the men of Ladysmith Black Mambazo sing their parts around them. It's a striking sound. Listen to this song called Wozanawe.
Wozanawe,
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 Hosanna,
Hosanna,
Jesus. Baleke zonweni,
Hosanna,
baleke zonweni, unzini ezonweni,
Hosanna,
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Jesus.
Hosanna,
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 baleke
zonweni,
Hosanna,
baleke zonweni,
Hosanna,
baleke zonweni,
Hosanna. Hosanawe, Hosanna Jesu, Hosanawe,
baleke zonweni,
Hosanawe, Hosanna Jesu, Hosanawe,
baleke zonweni,
Hosanawe, Hosanawe,
Hosanna
Jesu, Hosanawe,
baleke zonweni.
The great male South African choir known as Ladysmith Black Mambazo, singing along with tapes of the female choir known as Women of Mombasa. The new album is called Always With Us, and we'll have a chance to hear the hypnotic music of Ladysmith Black Mombasa live in our soundcheck studio in just a bit. Everybody loves a song with a good beat. It practically taps your toe for you, even if you're one of those people who thinks that he or she's been born with two left feet. But have you ever wondered why you move to music, even when sometimes the music doesn't have an obvious beat at all? Well, Marius Kozak, an assistant professor of music at Columbia University, has been studying the ways we physically respond to sound, and he joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Marius, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you're a violinist, right?
Yes.
Playing classical music, country fiddle, what species of violin?
I was trained as a classical violinist. I started when I was 7 years old. And then after college, or actually in college, I started experimenting with other styles, jazz. And then a friend of mine started a country band in Chicago. And so I just joined and, you know, the rest is history.
Well, at what point did you start to notice, you know, people moving maybe in sort of common ways through these very disparate types of music, classical and jazz and country?
Well, that realization came late because my first research interest was actually concerned time, our experience of time and how music can alter that experience. I had a very powerful experience with playing Henryk Gorecki's Third Symphony, which is extremely repetitive, extremely long. And at one point, I found that I became so engaged with the music that my sense of any temporal flow just completely stopped. So once I started looking more into it, I realized that time and music have something in common, which is motion.
Right.
And specifically human motion. So that's really how I got into studying how people move.
That Gorecki Third Symphony that you're talking about, that is a piece where a lot of the interest lies in the fact that Gorecki is kind of stretching out your sense of time to the point where you almost feel like the work is going to collapse, you know, that it won't, that the structure won't hold because it's being so stretched out. And yet somehow he makes it work. And that sense of, you know, kind of being adrift from the usual sense of time, if I listen to that piece, I don't find myself moving a lot, although there are parts of it where my head will just, like, start nodding along. And is that what you're talking about, that even with that kind of extended sense of time, we're still kind of moving physically?
Right. So my experience as a performer was literally movement, and I think that's what contributed to my altered experience of time. But what I found subsequently in my own work, studying how people move to music, was that regardless of any regularities in terms of beat or any kind of structure, people can move, can respond with their bodies to certain musical cues in very consistent ways.
Mm-hmm. So you've begun this research, you've been doing this now for a number of years, and there's like a kind of a battery of tests that you give to people, right? Like audio tests.
We have a set of, and by we, I mean myself and a colleague of mine at the University of Oslo, whose name is Christian Nimoyen. We have a set of musical excerpts, about each one about 30 seconds long, taken from actual musical repertoire, mm-hmm. contemporary musical repertoire. And we bring people into a motion capture studio, dress them up in a skin-tight suit with reflective markers on it, and we ask them to move to what they hear.
Mm-hmm. So you do actually ask them to move?
Yes, we do. We explicitly ask them to
move. If you didn't ask them to move, would they move anyway?
And that's going to be part of a future study.
Okay.
We would like to covertly motion capture people when they're just listening and see whether or not there's some kind of movement.
Right, right. I guess if you're putting a motion capture suit on someone, you can't be too surreptitious about that.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so let's hear some of these clips that you use in the experiments. This first one is from Toru Takemitsu. What do we do here?
Well, first you will hear a beep that signifies that the music is about to start, which is exactly what the participants heard in our experiments. And if the listeners are at home and are able to do so, you know, perhaps get up and try to move to what you hear, because that's exactly what people were asked to do.
All right. We're speaking with Dr. Marius Kozak, assistant professor of music at Columbia University. This is part of his research into how we respond physically to music. Just a little excerpt from the late Japanese composer Toru Takemitsu from his piece Coral Island. There's no steady pulse or rhythm here, right?
Right. It's just a wash of sound, basically, building to a climax and then dissipating.
So what did it tell you? How do people move when there isn't the obvious kind of four-on-the-floor beat that we're so used to?
It seems that people respond to very similar cues across the spectrum of expertise. So we had both music experts and non-experts. We had dance experts and non-experts. And we found certain cues in the music that people were responding to similarly. Mm-hmm. And specifically, they were responding to strong changes in texture, so loudness, instrumentation.
So when those flutes start rising up out of the kind of the murk of the score, is that a moment where you would see people physically respond somehow?
That would be one of those, yes. Listeners are very sensitive to changes in loudness, and that's one of the factors that has a direct effect on the amount of movement people make, the energy in the movement, so to speak.
Now, the Takemitsu is, you know, it has this kind of misty quality to it. This next piece begins to have some semblance of rhythm, although not maybe a steady one. So let's hear a little bit of this, again, from Dr. Marius Kozak's research into how we respond physically to music.
Mm-hmm.
that's music from the Austrian composer Olga Neuwirth, not mm-hmm. so well known here in the States, but a big reputation in Europe, from her soundtrack to the film The Long Rain. So there's lots of, you know, even though there isn't a lot of percussion per se, you have those percussive attacks on the clarinet and things like that. So how did people respond to, how did they move to that?
So here we're starting to hear a more regular organization of these sounds in time. And we saw a corresponding, beginnings of an organization in terms of when people started to move. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we would start to see patterns emerge. And those patterns would be very similar from one participant to another, to the point where people would actually react to the music at the same time, even though they were each tested individually.
Mm-hmm. So, and how would they? What would that reaction look like?
Some people moved their entire bodies. Others just stood there and moved their hands. Still others used the entire motion capture space. So we ended up looking at very specific features of movement, specifically velocity and acceleration.
So the idea isn't that we make the same motion at the same time, but we do make some motion. There are certain cues that you can almost predict. This is when these people are going to start moving.
Exactly, exactly. And oftentimes we would find similar features in terms of size of the movements. For example, louder sounds generally engender bigger movements, more aggressive movements.
Now, I found at the end of that clip, as these percussive attacking sounds on the wind instruments began to build up, I kind of found my head sort of nodding in search of a beat, mm-hmm, which I think there was one underneath. It's just not explicit in the score. Is that what the brain is looking for? Is some kind of regular periodicity, some regular rhythm in music?
That's an interesting question. We did find that with a number of these excerpts that were almost periodic. And I would steer clear of talking about the brain here. My work is specifically on embodied cognition. So in other words...
Explain what that is.
It's a area of research which takes as its starting point the notion that our mind is not somehow captured in our brain exclusively. Rather, our entire bodies constitute our minds. And in fact, there is a more radical branch called situated cognition, which would claim that our environment is also a part of our mind. So for example, when you pick up a pencil to take notes, that would be a part of your mind.
The pencil
and the paper on which you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, people do try to find regularities when they're not there and try to impose those regularities on the music.
All right, we're speaking with Dr. Marios Kozak, assistant professor of music at Columbia University, about his research into how humans respond physically to music, and we're hearing some of the audio cues that he uses in his research. You've chosen for the most part contemporary classical music, which means that most of your subjects, the people you're putting in these motion capture suits, they're not going to have any familiarity with it. Was that part of the reason for this choice?
Yes, that was an explicit choice on our part. We wanted people to respond spontaneously. So mm-hmm. music that they had, that a lot of them actually came in asking whether this was music. But almost all of them came out saying that that was the most enjoyable lunch hour they had in a long time.
All right, so we heard the Takemitsu, very, kind of floating and Eastern sounding, the Neuwirth, which begins to have this kind of implied rhythm, perhaps. There's certainly some kind of attack to it. Then we come to this music by the English composer Harrison Birtwistle. And again, this is part of Marios Kozak's experiment. Music from Harrison Birtwistle, one of the leading lights in the avant-garde scene in Great Britain. It's funny, if you had said this is the soundtrack to some zombie movie or something, people would probably rush out and buy it.
Right.
But it's pretty clear here. There are those sharp stabbing notes, those attacking sounds. That's got to be where people start moving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, in fact, we saw, you know, when we heard that kind of wash of sound in the beginning, people were moving in various ways. Whereas once we get to the clear metrical organization of music, where the beat is very regular between different participants, we would see correspondences in the 90th percentile, meaning that almost everybody would move at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And again, they may not move the same way, but they would move at that moment in the piece.
Exactly.
They'd be kind of strong movements as opposed to maybe, you know, a subtle, slight movement of the hand or wrist or something?
Right. I think there's a level of confidence that comes out of this regular organization. And it carries over. I mean, in the excerpt that we just heard, the regular organization stops at a certain point. But the effect of moving regularly would carry over into those parts as well.
So once you've kind of gotten the body used to the idea of responding to these sounds, even when that kind of regular rhythm disappears, the body has now sort of been entrained to move.
Exactly. And entrainment is the correct word to use here. It's our ability to synchronize with some sort of an external stimulus that is regular.
All right. Let me throw a bit of regular rhythm into the mix here. This is Marius. This is not from your experiment, but it'd be interesting to get your opinion of this. Zeppelin's version of When the Levee Breaks. Now, John Bonham starts wailing away on those drums, and we're both sitting here with our heads nodding, and, you know, my feet are moving and before I'm even aware of it when that drum break starts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that 90th percent? Is that 100th percent? Is it really rare to find someone who can't move when they listen to that?
Yeah, I think it's extremely rare. A lot of people say that they have no rhythm, that they can't dance. But I have a sense that in many instances it's cultural, that almost everybody, once they get the feeling of it, they can start moving. And mm-hmm. What's interesting about this, the Led Zeppelin, is that, you know, you have the drums giving a very regular beat that we're both moving to, like you said. But then that guitar comes in with a melody that has a different rhythm against that beat. And what's great about our bodies is that we can move to both of these at once, at the same time. So our head would do one kind of rhythm, our feet would do a different kind of rhythm.
So there are people in, like, the Balkans who grow up listening to music in sevens and nines and 13s, and you think, these people must be counting like crazy to dance to these pieces. And yet it's like, you know, they're just right there in perfect sync with the music.
Right, because I don't think they're counting. I think they're just feeling the music.
So in your research, are you at the position now where you can say something definitively about how the human body responds to music?
Not at all. This branch of research is very new, and it really developed once motion capture technologies have become better and more widely available. You know, we're still pioneering mm-hmm. our models of how humans move, and it's because everybody moves so differently, and yet everyone has that capacity, and everyone responds to music. Seems to respond to music in very similar ways.
Marius Kozak, assistant professor of music at Columbia University. He's been studying how humans respond physically to sound and specifically to music. Marius, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Soundcheck. Up next, a live performance in our studio, guaranteed to get a reaction from you. The globe-trotting South African choir Ladysmith Black Mambazo has a beautiful new album out. They'll play some of it live here in the Soundcheck studio.
Mm-hmm. kuzwa ubumnandi balele evangeli evangeli usashe.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The South African choir known as Ladysmith Black Mambazo made history by recording with Paul Simon on his famed Graceland album back in 1986. Since then, they've brought the sounds of South African music around the world, accompanying the late Nelson Mandela to his Nobel Prize ceremony, and singing with Bert and Ernie on Sesame Street. Their latest album, though, is unlike anything the group has done in its 50-year career. We'll find out more about it in a moment, but first, here's a song from that album in a live performance. It's Ladysmith Black Mambazo, live on Soundcheck.
Fimbo, 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 fimbo,
That is the unmistakable sound of Ladysmith Black Mambazo live on Soundcheck with a song called Vimba, the South African chorus, founded back in the early 60s by Joseph Shabalala. Albert Mazibuko is kind of leading the band these days. Albert, to you and the rest of the band, thank you for being with us today.
It's good to be here. Thank you very much.
Now, that song Vimba appears on the latest record called Always With Us.
Yes.
I mentioned before, this album is unlike anything you've done. You've done many things over the course of the last half century, but this album features women singing with Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and it's a tribute to Joseph Shabalala's late wife, Nellie, right?
Yes. We're kind of going back to our roots, because this kind of music, this is the music that which is the mother of the music that we sing, Iskatamiya.
I can't repeat the word you're saying. Iskatamiya, that's the name of the style of this,
yes,
this choral music. And Nellie Shabalala had her own band, her own group called Women of Mambazo.
Yes.
Was it somehow traditional for the women to have a group of their own and the men to have a group of their own?
No, it's just that Joseph Shabalala wanted to bring this music and make it new.
This music, these songs that Nellie and her group were singing, this is sort of the roots of what Ladysmith Black Mambazo was built on. How far back does this tradition go?
Far back, late 20s, when the mine, when the people, they were taken from their home, they went to the mine, so it was late 20s.
So you have these very deep, old South African folk roots, And then there seems to be an element of you know, Western church music as well.
Yeah, there is an influence of church music, you know, when the missionary came to South Africa, so the music, it has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's in fact, the style that we grew up, it was more, you know, taking over
right.
in South Africa.
We're speaking with Albert Mazibuko of the band Ladysmith Black Mambazo. The South African choir is here in town. The new album is called Always With Us, based on the songs of Nelly Shabalala, the late wife of Joseph Shabalala, who founded the band back in the early 60s. Now, Albert, people still remember Graceland and, you know, the songs with Paul Simon, two of which Joseph Shabalala co-wrote with Paul Simon. One of them is the song Homeless. What do you remember about that recording session?
There is one thing that I remember all the time is that it was the first time for Ladysmith Black Mambazo to struggle in the studio recording one song. We used to record 12 songs a day. So when
And
we,
you just did it like that, right? You knew exactly
yeah,
what you'd...
Like it, because we went to the studio prepared. But this time we were prepared, but we didn't know how to collaborate with Paul Simon and his style of singing. So when we went to the studio that afternoon, I remember we started at 2 o'clock. And then the song didn't, you know, work out right. Where so many people were trying to help, our producer from South Africa and Paul Simon producer and the engineer, and everyone was trying to help. No, we should sing it this way. Until late afternoon by 6 o'clock, and Paul Simon said, no, let's call it a day. Let's go back to our hotel. We went back to our hotel very disappointed. And then so when we get there, we had dinner. After that, we got together, we pray, and then after that, we practice. Because now we had an idea what Paul Simon was looking for. And we practiced, we started at about 8 in the afternoon until 12 midnight, and the song was together. So we went back to sleep very satisfied, and then the next day, when we get into the studio, everyone was very excited. He said, no, I've got an idea. I've got a good idea. And then Joseph walked up to Paul Simon and said, we have been rehearsing, so we just want you to listen to this. And then we sang the whole song for him. And Paul Simon said, this is a good one. They chased everybody out. It was only Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Paul Simon, and his engineer and the producer. In 2 hours, the song was done.
Mm. And you guys still sing that song today?
We still sing that song.
Will you sing it for us now?
Absolutely.
All right. Ladysmith Black Mambazo with a song called Homeless, originally from the Graceland album, Paul Simon's 1986 classic, and co-written with Joseph Shabalala, the founder of Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Here is the great South African choir performing Homeless live on Soundcheck.
Sing. Homeless, homeless, moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake. Homeless, we are homeless, moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake. And we are homeless, moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake. And we are homeless,
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 homeless.
Moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake.
Siouan,
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 Siouan.
Angulela makasa, angulele mina.
Siouan,
Siouan,
Siouan.
Hausumanta angulele mina.
Siouan,
makasa,
Siouan,
Siouan.
Tululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululululul homes. Many dead tonight, it could be you. Strong wind, strong wind. Many dead tonight, it could be you. And we are homeless.
Homeless.
We are homeless. We are homeless. We are homeless.
Moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake.
We're homeless. We're homeless. When moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake. Somebody say, somebody sing,
hello, hello, hello.
Somebody say, somebody cry, why, why. Somebody say, somebody sing,
hello, hello, hello.
Somebody say, somebody cry, why. Somebody say, Somebody sing, somebody sing,
hello, hello, hello.
Somebody sing, somebody cry, why. Somebody sing, somebody sing,
hello, hello, hello.
Somebody sing, somebody cry, why. Kulumani,
kulumani. Kulumani
singenze njani
bayajabula wasithanda
yo.
That is Ladysmith Black Mambazo live on Soundcheck with Homeless, one of the songs they contributed to Paul Simon's Graceland album back in 1986. The other, Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes, was a bigger hit. I have to say Homeless was always my favorite track from that record. Ladysmith Black Mambazo performing live on Soundcheck for us today. The new album's called Always With Us. It is out now. Let's go back a few years for another song from Ladysmith Black Mambazo. They're going to play Long Walk to Freedom, a Nelson Mandela-themed song from their 2006 record of the same name. Once again, it's Ladysmith Black Mambazo live on Soundcheck.
Sage sa ubon sa ubele chachina.
Sage sa luchwa lusis. Sage sa ubon sa ubele chachina.
Umyame chawen umyame kachel umyama bo.
Umyama eka
watum kachel lanina.
Umyama.
Bachi.
Good boy, carry on. Good boy, carry on.
Angwom slop, se kahlelum yama bo.
Om slop, ma, ekahlelum
kahlelan, mtana bantu bo.
Om slop, ma, ekahlelum yama.
Bachi yin bafa.
Well done, well done. You did a good job, you did a good job. Properly performed. Well done, well done.
Angwom slop, se kahlelum slop.
Om slop, ma, ekahlelum
kahlelan, ngowakubunje.
Om slop, ma, ekahlelum slop.
Bathi.
Don't do it again, don't do it again. We came a long way to take over. Do you understand that? Do you understand that?
Sage.
Sage sa ubona sa ubele.
We mama bo.
Sage sa lutwalo sizwe.
Sage.
Sage sa ubona sa ubele.
We mama bo.
Sage sa lutwalo sizwe.
Step by step,
there comes the day. We were all praying,
oh yes,
early in the morning.
It was early on Friday morning, Norway in Oslo, 1993. When two men all the way from South Africa, Mandela, de Klerk, accepted their Nobel Peace Prize. Congratulations, South Africa. Congratulations, South Africa.
At last,
you've reached democratic elections. Long way, long way, long walk to freedom.
Long way,
long way,
long way,
long way,
long walk,
long walk to freedom.
Oh, let us walk
long way
and work
long way
together.
Long walk to freedom.
Let us walk
long way
and work
long way
together.
Long walk to freedom.
Let us walk
long way
and work
long way
together.
Long walk to freedom.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Long way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Long way,
yeah,
long walk to freedom.
Let us walk together,
long way,
in the light of God.
Long way,
yeah,
long walk to freedom.
Long way,
long way,
long way, 1993.
Long walk to freedom. Long way, long way,
long way, she said there no help is pride.
Long walk to freedom.
Long way.
Long way.
Long way.
Long walk to freedom.
Congratulations, South Africa.
Long way. Long walk to freedom.
Congratulations, South Africa.
Long way.
We've reached democratic
elections. Long walk to freedom.
Long way.
Long way.
Long way.
Long way.
Long walk.
Long walk to freedom.
Hinderlandela.
Long way.
Dilo sekona.
Long way.
Sofiane ni.
Long walk to freedom.
Hinderlandela.
Long way.
Dilo sekona.
Long way.
Sofiane ni.
Long walk to freedom.
Hinderlandela.
Long way.
Dilo sekona.
Long way.
Sofiane ni.
Long walk to freedom.
Hinderlandela.
Long way.
Dilo sekona.
Long way.
Sofiane ni.
Long walk to freedom.
Long way,
long way,
long way,
long way,
long walk,
long walk to freedom.
Long walk to freedom from Ladysmith Black Mambazo, the South African choir, here with us in the Soundcheck studio. And Albert Mazibuko, the song is not just about Mandela, but specifically that day in 1993. Where he and de Klerk went to Oslo to get their Nobel Peace Prizes. You were with them, right?
Yes, I was there.
And performed as part of the ceremony, or there was a concert or something?
We were so honored that Dr. Nelson Mandela asked us to perform at the ceremony.
Wow.
And then they said, no, there will be no way that guys will perform here because we don't allow some big sounds here, sound system. We said, no, we don't need that. We have our own sound. And then Mandela also chose the song that we have to perform. And so when we performed, there was these people sitting down with their black suits and ties, and it was so quiet. After we finished the song, Mandela stood up, and then he raised his fist. He said, "Black power, black Mambazo," and he sat down. That was very special.
I would imagine that's got to be one of the highlights of a long career in music for you guys.
Absolutely, it is.
Well, there was only one Nelson Mandela. He's no longer with us. But Ladysmith Black Mambazo goes on and on as kind of a family tradition. We're into a second generation now of Shabalalas and Mazibukos, and you're all cousins, and, you know, so it's great to have the band continuing to tour and perform. And Albert, to you and the rest of Ladysmith Black Mambazo, thank you so much for being here today.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much for having us here.
Figile ma,
osawe figile,
figile,
figile ma,
osawe
figile,
figile,
figile
ma,
osawe
figile,
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 osawe
figile.
Figile,
figile,
osawe
figile,
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 osawe
figile,
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 osawe
figile,
Up next, we'll hear from some of you in the wake of our earth-shattering soundcheck smackdown debate of the ukulele. This is Soundcheck.
Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Dreams that you dream of, dreams really do come true.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Time now for some of your reactions to our recent Soundcheck Smackdown on the towering presence of the tiny ukulele in indie rock and pop culture in general. During the show, we talked about this very popular ukulele version of Over the Rainbow, recorded in 1999 by a certain Hawaiian musician. Here's me attempting to say his name. I want to play Israel Kamakawi Wo'ole. That is some music from the birthplace of the ukulele from Hawaii. That is Israel Kamakawi Wo'ole. Would you guys like to join me in saying Israel's last name altogether?
While it was playing, Jesse and I said it several times.
Yeah, right.
Here on Soundcheck and on my other show, New Sounds, I've handled a lot of tricky names, but I got to say, the name of this late ukulele player and posthumous YouTube star is one of the trickier ones I've come across. But I got a little bit of help from one of our listeners.
Hey, John and staff. This is Terry. I'm in New York, but I'm from Hawaii, Honolulu. And I enjoyed the segment on the ukulele and wanted to provide a little assistance if you were interested in the pronunciation of Israel Kamakawiwo'ole's name. I know that it's not necessary to put too fine of a point on it, but you were so disparate from the actual pronunciation that I thought I might be able to make it a little easier. So it's Kamaka Vivo Ole, or if you want to break it up into three, Kamaka Vivo Ole, and then just say it more quickly, Kamaka Vivo Ole. Okay, love your shows, all of them. Love you to death. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Kamaka Vivo Ole. Kamaka Vivo Ole. Okay, think I got it. Thanks, Terry. Also note that Terry started out by pronouncing the ukulele like a real Hawaiian. Ukulele. Our listener Sean in Brooklyn also wanted to weigh in after our SmackDown debate about the popularity of what is popularly called the ukulele.
The Brazilian cavaquinho is extremely similar, the different tuning, to the ukulele. They both are derived from the same Portuguese instrument. So they're very, very similar. And the cavaquinho is an amazing instrument, ubiquitous in samba. So you should hopefully illuminate the discussion by playing a little samba with cavaquinho, because it's really not cheesy and dinky at all, the way it's utilized in samba and, you know, the way that ukuleles typically are. Okay, bye.
Sure thing, Sean. Here's a man so identified with the cavaquinho that it became part of his name, the late Brazilian musician Nelson Cavaquinho.
Hoje pra você eu sou espinho. Espinho não machuca flor.
That's a track called A Flor e o Espinho from Nelson Cavaquinho, playing the cavaquinho, a Brazilian relative of the ukulele. Here's one more response sparked by our discussion of the uke. This is from Marie in Manhattan.
Tiny Tim grew up in my neighborhood, so I met him in grammar school. His name was Herbie Mowry, or Manry. He actually lived across the street from my best friend, and I have to tell you, even as a teenager, he was that way. The genuine article. Very strange, very good-natured, with a heart of gold. but there was nothing phony about him.
If I could drive a spaceship, dear, I'd take you to the stars, and you would be alone with me as we fly next to Venus and Mars. You'd be together, all alone.
And his eyes rolled in the back of his head when he sang any of his music or played his ukulele. He composed a lot of songs, if you want to call them that, but he was what you saw, certainly what you got. Thank you so much. Good night.
I take you up with me. We'd have a honeymoon on Mars, on Venus or Mercury.
Well, here's a dirty little secret. Sometimes we can't fit all the music we record in our studio into the show. You can always hear the full sessions online at soundcheck.org. And if you like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, we'll tell you about our live webcasts pretty much every day at 2 p.m., and we'll alert you to when we post new sessions online. But for right now, I want to play a track that didn't make it onto the show recently. The pianist and keyboardist Ben Montench is what you might call a secret weapon. He co-founded the Heartbreakers with Tom Petty and has been an important part of that band's classic sound, but he has played with everyone, from Johnny Cash to Bob Dylan to the Rolling Stones and on and on. He joined us recently to give us a sneak preview of his album You Should Be So Lucky, which is now out. And this is one of his songs. It's a solo arrangement of a tune called Why Don't You Quit Leaving Me Alone from Ben Montench.
Surely you remember this old resort hotel is pink and white all over. Historical as hell, and Scott and Zelda stayed here, and you and me as well. At least that's how the story goes, the porters like to tell. Now a cold hard rain comes pouring down. It wasn't like this last time around. There's no calm center to this storm, my baby. Why don't you quit leaving me alone? There's nothing on the TV, no message on the phone, and nothing but an awful lot of nothing going on. And every radio station plays the same forsaken song. You'd think I would have had the sense to leave this place alone. Some dreams die with dignity. They fade out clean and quietly. But some won't let you let them go on, baby. Why don't you quit leaving me alone? Kick the walls around and beat myself up. Some dreams die with dignity. They fade out clean and quietly. But some of them won't let you let them go. Oh, baby, why don't you quit leaving me? A cold, hard rain comes pouring down. It wasn't like this last time around. There's no calm center to this storm. Oh, baby, why don't you quit leaving me alone?
Why Don't You Stop Leaving Me Alone? A live performance in our studio from pianist and songwriter Benmont Tench. When he played that for us in the studio recently, it reminded me of Randy Newman, which Benmont took as a very high compliment indeed. Remember, for updates on what we're doing in the Soundcheck studio, like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Soundcheck. Tomorrow on the show, we know Elijah Wood from his role as the heroic hobbit Frodo in the Lord of the Rings franchise. Tomorrow he'll tell us about playing a famous but troubled classical pianist in a new thriller called Grand Piano. Plus, Les Claypool has been pushing the limits of what the bass guitar can do for more than 25 years. The Primus founder and frontman joins us with something called an acoustic dobro bass, he plays in his aptly titled new project, Duo de Twang. That's going to do it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.